tell us about the job that Mr. Walker got you.
Well, it was an assistant head designer for Mercury Pre-Production. See, all the studios had their own pre-production. They were advanced models, not real way out models, but models that the studio thought they should have for the next round. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my boss was Bob Whelan.
Whelan, huh?
Yeah. And but it was just a short time, and Whelan went to, I think he went to England at that time, and had or Germany. I think he went to Germany. Yeah, I know he did, because we went over to see him. Near Cologne, wherever the factory is in
right.
Germany.
Near Cologne.
Yeah, and but then later, Bordenay became the. Walker retired then.
Walker
didn't he?
Retired.
And Bordenay became the vice president in charge of styling. And he called me in his office one time and told me that I was going to be the head designer for the Mercury pre-production. And before that, Buzz Grissinger had it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he had that studio for a while.
Grissinger.
Yeah. He was in this. Cucho. Cucho was his assistant. And they made a model.
How do you spell it?
C-U-C-C-I-O. Cucho.
Cucho.
Yeah. He's an industrial designer in New York now. He was a Lowy man.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh,
uh-huh. And.
What was his first name?
John Cucho.
Cucho.
Yeah. And he and Buzz did a model of, it was a full-size plaster model, and they had old drawings and everything to accompany it, and it was kind of squarish looking. They worked on it a year or more, and it was the only one they did, and Bordenay said to me, I know your predecessor only did one model, but I expect you to do six. And later he said, I didn't expect you to really do them, but that's what I told you. And instead I did 22.
Oh my God.
22 full size. But they weren't all, started
place.
From scratch. A lot of them started, we just did a lower part with a roof of something else. Mm-hmm. But it was full, 20, we counted them, 22. Some of them were complete cars. And we had a lot of success there. A lot of things that came up.
Do you remember any?
Nothing complete. There's parts of them here and there,
mm-hmm.
except the Falcon. The Falcon. We did a. It was for Comet. See, I was in Mercury pre-production, and the Comet was the Mercury,
uh-huh.
and so. This was done for a Comet, but the Ford people saw it and liked it, and it became the Falcon. That was the one with the spear, the spear running through it and running into the taillights. It was kind of an interesting one, but...
They lifted that off your Comet design for the Falcon.
That's right.
Yeah. Was it ever used on the Comet?
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't used on the Comet. The Comet used... they used the body part of it, but then they put the front fender was modified to make it look a little different.
Right.
No better, in fact, it was worse. But so the Comet sort of suffered from it, although it came from the Mercury pre-production studio. Then, of course, we did Lincoln's, and the Lincoln pre-production in. It came out in 68, I guess. I forget the exact date, but one of the first Lincolns with the all-new body. Not the one that had the back stagger, back window, but not the next one either. It was one after that. that came from our studio. I didn't do it all, but it was from my studio. Later on, I did one that I thought was better, and it was a plaster model.
Uh-huh.
And but Henry Ford had already seen this other one and liked that, so this one that I thought was better
mm-hmm.
wasn't even shown. I've got pictures of both of them.
Oh,
but but things like that.
These are mid-60s Lincolns you were working
These
on?
Are, yeah, they were Lincolns of, I draw a blank.
66?
Yeah, along in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Bordenay, or Gene Bordenay liked your work and
encouraged
you to
yeah.
go ahead.
And, yeah, and then I stayed in pre-production for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a bunch of good men, too.
You remember some of them?
I should remember every one of them. They were so loyal and so good. And I'll have to come back with you on that.
Okay.
I could give you the names of all of them.
Right.
When I
you were off the board and back doing modeling then, huh?
Oh, yeah, I was in charge of it.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you enjoyed that much?
Yeah. And the first ones were Mercury pre-production. Oh, I remember now. The 57 Mercury. Remember that was the one that had a concave section, went through and into the taillight, and then it had a back stagger. No, that came out later. That came out later. But I did a lot of, with that theme, that concave theme that worked into the taillight.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good theme, but the car didn't go over at all for other reasons, I think. But the theme I thought was good, and so I was working, trying to develop something on that theme.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I had to get off it, but I worked a lot on that concave theme.
Can you describe that in audio terms for our audience? Can you?
Well, it was a section through the body that was concave, and it ran from one end to the other end, and into the back end,
mm-hmm.
it worked into a concave taillight.
Uh-huh, yeah. And that motif?
That motif I thought was good, and it could lend itself to so many designs which I was working on, but it didn't really
was it ever
go over. Well, that was the 57, the way it was in 57.
57.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that the Turnpike Cruiser?
Yeah.
With the slanted
back window.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it wasn't a successful car, I guess. Uh-huh. But from some standpoints, it was, I thought. From some standpoints, it could have been.
Uh-huh.
But that was the first part of my pre-production work.
Mm-hmm.
But then I stayed there for quite a few years, and then Cliff Voss, who came from Chrysler,
V-O-S-S?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Went back to Chrysler, I think, or at least he quit
uh-huh.
Ford, and he was an executive stylist, and that left an opening, and I got his job as an executive stylist.
What studio?
That was in Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
It was several different parts of it. It would be the I think I started out with the smaller cars, not the Lincoln, but the Comet and the Monterey.
Mm-hmm.
And later charge of the big Lincoln and mm-hmm. the big Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
But all the time in the the Lincoln Mercury division.
Uh-huh. Who was heading that?
And that was Buzz Gussinger. He was the director.
Uh-huh. You'd worked with him?
I'd worked with him before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how did that go? Do you remember any particular models that you were...
Well, Lincolns of...
would have been the late 60s or
Yeah,
early
this
70s?
Would have to be in the early 70s. So 70, working. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a bought a 79. I got it down in the basement down here.
Yeah.
My good. Own. It was my car. I gave it to David, uh-huh. And now we're restoring it.
Good.
The one before that, that would be the 69, 68 and 69, mm-hmm. And then 69, 70, 71, and from then on.
Uh-huh. Do you remember any details that you...
The front end, the details, pretty much.
Pretty much were yours.
Yeah.
Huh? And so you and Buzz would be working on details from several models in the works.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it got so that wasn't so much fun anymore. It would have to meet certain deadlines.
Uh-huh.
And if my crew didn't come out with it, of course it was my fault.
Sure.
And I was glad to retire, frankly. But I always sorry in a way that I did, because I certainly like cars. I still dream about them, and,
uh-huh.
And I can't get them off my mind. But I see so many things I would have liked to change.
When did you retire?
In 68, April 68.
Oh, that early.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You got you retired before Mr.
Grissinger?
Knudsen got there.
You mean before...
Punky Knudsen.
Yeah. Iacocca was there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And although I didn't know him, but I think he worked... He was responsible for the Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
And I did do one job for the Mustang, but they took was the taillights, the back end of the
And that's yours,
car.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't really mine. It was from our job, from uh-huh. the one that we presented.
This is in your pre-production area?
It was in our pre-production area.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And do you remember... Can you tell us a little bit about the Turnpike Cruiser? That was to be a spectacular...
That was done before I... It was done about the time I got there, I guess, just before. I think Spencer worked on that.
Who's that?
Ken Spencer.
Ken Spencer?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
he was under Roy Brown.
Roy Brown.
But then under Roy Brown was... or somebody else, and then Ken Spencer, and then me. I was way down.
Do you remember, can you tell us a little bit about the Mustang period? You were in the midst of that. How did it come about?
Lee Iacocca gets all the credit for that, and I guess he deserves it mm-hmm. from the start, although the actual styling of it came from the Ford studio, and I can't really say. I wouldn't want to say.
Bob McGuire involved?
Yeah, probably he had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. The people you worked for and with, do any of them stand out in the late 50s and early 60s at Ford? Do you remember any ones that still stick in your memory as really good stylists?
Well, there are probably a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Those whose work you admire, perhaps. You remember John Najar? Did you work with him?
No, I didn't work with him. I know him.
Mm-hmm. He was a Mercury.
He was. He's an old-timer. I think he was... He was with Ford for many, many years.
Yeah. Dean Bordenay, you had some contact with him, of course.
With Bordenay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, he was my boss. He was
right.
The vice president.
Yeah.
And of course, and he was the chief stylist for Mercury. So I worked
right.
Mm-hmm. Before he got his job as. I worked with him a lot. He knew my work pretty much.
Mm-hmm. You worked.
I think.
Yes.
McGuire, I worked, and I didn't mention this. And when I was just before I became an executive, I worked for Special Interest Studio, which was which was under McGuire. Mm-hmm. McGuire was head of that. Mm-hmm. And I was, I had a lot of different variety of work there. Mm-hmm. That was very interesting. I liked that work very much. Because we worked on all, the whole line of cars, not just Mercury. Before that, I just worked on Mercury's. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they turned into something else, but working with McGuire, it was Special Interest Studios. What they call special. It was a
concept, advanced concept,
something like that. They worked on a lot of cars, mm-hmm. and sometimes I'd have about 5 different things going at one time, and I enjoyed that so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it was through McGuire, mm-hmm. That I got to be an executive. I think he, of course, Buzz did too, but mm-hmm. Between the two. Because there were a lot of people that had been there a lot longer, mm-hmm. that probably deserved it a lot sooner. Because I remember one time, long before that, I asked, I always probably too ambitious, and I asked a Bourdonnais one time, what chance have I got to be an executive? He says, none whatsoever. He says, there's too many of you, too many people ahead of you. But not long after that, he made me.
Bob McGuire's
I think so, Bob, yeah. And Buzz.
McGuire was pretty well universally liked by everyone.
I think so.
Respected.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't too active. He let people sort of do their own stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked. I worked on the Ford GT40. GT40, that race car, special car.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah. I did one of the first ones. And it went to England, and for a while, we heard that it was coming out in production, that they were going to do that car. Mm-hmm. But then later, it got changed. Mm-hmm. That was another miss.
Slightly different.
It lost a lot, mm-hmm. I thought.
Yeah.
But I did see a picture of one place, the one that I did, but other than that, I... the German Ford. We did a German Ford. In the basement, and that came out, the Taunus, that came out the way I wanted to have new doors and new curved glass. I think it was straight glass at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I was all for curved glass because it made the contour of the whole door so much better. You didn't have to have a real thick door section to let the glass down and still could have a good tumble home and a good turn under, mm-hmm. Which we were always after. And that was what the first Lincoln did, had curved glass. And then the next time they came out with a new body, they did straight glass.
Oh.
And that always seemed so ridiculous to me. They finally went back to curved glass and have had it ever since.
But, did the Taunus come out pretty much as you had designed it?
Yeah, it was more or less a facelift. But it was a new back end, new front end, and everything. But they still kept the same doors. But I think. But if they did change them, they didn't change them much, because at the time we were working on it, we thought it was going to be just we didn't change the doors. But as it turned out, we might just as well have changed the doors, as I remember it now.
Well,
I worked on Cougars a lot.
Did you?
Yeah.
That was quite an innovative car, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And it still is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a lot of work on Cougars. That came from our studio. That came right from our studio.
From your pre-production
yeah.
in the Mercury studio.
I remember more about the real old cars, Briggs, than I do. Isn't that funny? I guess I'm getting old.
The Cougars, the Cougar was quite a success.
Yeah.
Quite innovative in design.
Yeah.
Remember any devices that still...
The 69 was, they had that line like the Buick did. The belt line dropped, not the belt line, but the character line dropped down and then straightened out,
mm-hmm.
Similar to a Buick. And we thought at that time that the management wouldn't buy it because it was too much like the Buick. But they bought it, and it was quite successful. And the one before that was successful, too.
68.
I just bought one for my daughter, the 69.
Did
you? Got it in Florida.
Oh.
And it was, we thought it was in real good shape, but later some rust come out. And I worked on it for a while this summer, and we sold it.
Did you?
Sold it for more than we paid for.
Those Those are good cars.
It was a nice car.
Was that pretty much the last one you worked on? The 68,
69 Cougar? 69, yeah, that was. Uh-huh. 69, because I left in 68.
68, yeah.
So I worked on 69 and...
And what else, just before you left? Any 70s?
No, the 70 was done before. Well, I didn't have anything to do with 70.
Were you retired for what reason?
Well, I used to go down to Florida every year, at least twice, sometimes twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I always liked it so much, and I hated to come back.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, shucks, if I can get a decent retirement,
mm-hmm.
I think I will. So I wrote to Bordenay, and he said, okay. And he gave me a pretty good, well, it isn't very good, but enough so that with my other investments, mm-hmm. I could get along fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just moved to Florida and been happy ever since.
But you did say a moment ago that you had some regrets that you retired.
Well, yes, because I'm still interested in automobiles, and I would still like to have a consultant job.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I talked to Bordenay about that right after I retired.
Did you?
And I suggested such a thing. They have a survey, you know, from people on the street, well-known people, perhaps,
right.
but not connected with automobiles particularly. And they take their word for a lot of it. And I suggested, why not have some old pros from that are retired to come in and give you suggestions and see it from a fresh eye.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought it was an idea, but not a good idea. Not for Ford. Not the management wouldn't go for it, he said. But then, at that time, I talked to Don Kopka, mentioned it to him, and he said he thought that'd be a good idea. So when Don Kopka became vice president, I suggested the same thing to him, and he felt the same as Bordenay. I guess it's management's policy not to do anything.
Well, since then, though, they rely more and more, I think.
Do they? On who?
On market research.
Yeah, right? But not somebody from the company.
It's too bad that they don't really exercise the option of getting informed opinions from
retired
designers.
I think it would be a good idea, and I mentioned it the other day to Chuck Gordon. I talked with him. Jordan.
Chuck
I talked
Jordan.
To
uh-huh.
Chuck
yeah.
Jordan for quite a while. I've known
uh-huh.
him for a long time, and he seemed to think it was all right.
Yeah, sure.
But because I can see so many things on the cars that they come out with,
mm-hmm.
Like the 79 when they came out with the 79 all new Ford and all, it seemed so as if they tried to make it look high.
Yes.
It looked kind of boxy, and it was a good design. It's a nice car, but and the Lincoln too, the back end, the roof, it just comes out. It doesn't
right.
shape down well. They should have a low backlight, like some of the custom cars. The
mm-hmm.
old custom cars had a low backlight and they
rounded. Yeah,
and
course,
they weren't boxy. They weren't so boxy.
Yeah. Of course, the starting with the Escort and later the Temple Topaz and then later the Lincoln and the Thunderbird. Ford has
decided
to go more more
and they're better. Yeah, I hope so. I hope they continue. Yeah, that's a.
Similar to the sort of thing you had them do at Hillman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could at least be that somebody finally picked up on you.
Well, I don't think they really picked up. I think it would come anyway without me.
Evolutionary process.
Yeah.
But strangely enough, General Motors has not gotten rid of.
No,
the
they get that. They get that
square
up backlight.
Did you ask Jordan about that?
No, I didn't. I should have.
Yeah. Well, looking back on your career as a designer. Maybe you could sit back and sort of review it as a whole. for future generations of students.
Say, could we take a little break here?
Let's do. You mentioned a couple of people that had worked for you that had come to mind.
Well, one of them was Westcott. He was colorblind, but he could do the best renderings I ever saw.
W-E-S-T-C-O-T-T?
Westcott, yeah, I think so.
Where was that?
That was when I was in pre-production.
In Mercury.
In Mercury pre-production. Mm-hmm. And later he went with Cuccio in New York. They have a studio there.
Oh.
And I guess he's still doing fine. But he would, we were doing mostly charcoal drawings.
Uh-huh.
And he'd have to ask somebody, what color is this? But he'd get such values, such great values, and
that's
still
nice.
He was colorblind.
Yeah. Well, looking back on your career, what do you think, what would you say the highlights were, reviewing your design?
Well, reviewing my design, and I don't think it's typical with the average designer, but my long suit was models, three dimension. I wanted to work in three dimensions.
Clay models.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't, I had always had a board that I did some drawing,
sure.
And I did some rendering.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's at the Detroit Art Institute for on the Lincoln, but usually it was in model form.
Mm-hmm.
And any size. Of course, when it's a full size, I didn't do the heavy work, but lots of times I'd get in there and pitch on detail work, and
uh-huh.
even on the full size. So that was, and I didn't mention it before, but I did, in pre-production, I did an awful lot of tent scale models.
Tent scale?
Tent scale. And they were, they had a mirror, and so I only did a half a model, so I didn't have to match up sides or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So when the when pictures were taken of it, it looked like a complete car.
And
I'd photograph, I haven't photographed, I got hundreds of them,
really?
I think. Well, maybe not hundreds, but I'll bet I got one not far from it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them I'd have retouched,
mm-hmm.
and some of them, SIA have had one of them in there.
Did they?
Book. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was just taken from a 10-scale model. So that, and that, I'd get my ideas that way.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes we'd work them into full, usually work them into full scale if they like. So that was my long suit, was Model N.
And when you were at Ford, the latter part of your career, you were still modeling? In pre-production?
No, in pre-production, but
yeah.
Not in not as an executive.
No, yeah.
I had an office, and but I don't think I did any modeling whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. You had plenty of models.
But we had modelers all the time, and
right.
You could tell. The modelers as a whole respect me, like work for me.
That's good.
I value that a lot.
You still keep contact with some of them?
Yeah, I go to, whenever they have an open house at Ford, they go, and sometimes I've seen Kopke every year,
uh-huh.
last couple of years anyway,
uh-huh.
since he's been, and,
You know Art Rockle?
No.
At Ford, he's modeling.
No.
Don Kopke, you had a good experience with him.
Yeah.
Ford, huh?
Yeah, when I retired, we were on the same level.
Uh-huh.
And he's
what
really
studio was he in at that time?
He was in interior, I think, at that time.
Mm-hmm. Good
man. Yeah, he's very nice. I like him a lot. And he's well liked.
Have you any thoughts about design today?
I'm just going to close this.
In terms of your overall career, do you have any observations about designs? Of yesterday's designs versus today's designs, and what your thoughts are on the direction they've taken in recent years.
Well, in some respects, I like them better today, but as a whole, I don't think I do. I think I like cars, not way back, but some. Of course, way back they were very interesting too, but. I didn't like the trend that was boxy, like the K car. I didn't like that at all. The lower part was all right, but it just looked so often as if they tried to make it look high and boxy, which I don't like.
What K car was that?
The Chrysler.
The fairly recent Chrysler.
Yeah, fairly recent one. Yeah. And they're all, some of them are nice. I like the Lancer. Mm-hmm. I think that's very elegant. And I like the front ends, the basic theme of the front ends, although they look a little too narrow, but I like the aerodynamic feeling that they have, but I don't like them riding up high in the rear end. Now, I've seen pictures of the new Ford products called the Taurus and the Sable, mm-hmm. and they look very high in the rear end to me. Mm-hmm. I'd just like to see them not quite so much of a wedge shape, although some of them are all right, but I'm not fond of that.
The wedge seems to be coming into vogue.
Yeah, it does. Sometimes it's over-exaggerated. I like to see the car ride on a level, not high in the back and not low in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But so if it's a wedge shape that looks like it's going level, it's all right.
But in general, you approve of what you had tried a few times in your career, the rounded
I still think the rounded theme is better.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Camaro, the old Camaro, better than, a little better, although the new one's nice too, but I can see why they did what they did, but I admired some of the old ones better than I do most of the new ones.
In general, you approve of the flush look that is coming out.
Oh, the flush glass, I think, is great. I wish we could have done things like that years ago. And the headlights, we always had to have big round headlights, mm-hmm. or not always big, so it has, they have the plus and minuses, I think. I think I'd rather be designing back in olden days than now, though.
What years did you say?
Well, I enjoyed so much at Briggs.
Did you?
So much. There's so much, such a far way to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could visualize ahead that some great things.
Mm-hmm.
But now what do you visualize? I don't know what to visualize in the car of the future. Probably be a flop.
They've come a long way, haven't they?
Yeah, they've come a long way.
But you had tried to experiment with curved glass at...
I made one little model at Briggs that was just a two-door, and no glass behind the doors.
Uh-huh.
It was just wrapped around. A lot like Exner gets a lot of credit, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. And Burke did some earlier than that, I guess, the uh-huh. ones that came out with rounded, a lot of glass. But this one that I made didn't have any, just the big glass backlight.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a good way to go.
Well, in many respects, your experiments with rounded backlights and curved windshields and curved side glasses and your overall emphasis on a soft, rounded look, you were pretty much in the...
I usually favored that.
Yeah. Pretty much in the forefront.
Sometimes I went overboard. The ones that I did for my samples for when I went to see Nash, I had two of those models, they were Nash did something like it. I don't think it was nearly as nice, but it was referred to as the bathtub model.
That would have been their 19th.
Oh, I forget what year that was. During the war, I see that was. Well, they came out right after the war, so it'd be 42, I guess.
Yeah. So, in effect, you had quite a bit of influence over the years.
Well, maybe, yeah.
On certain configurations, style and details. Yeah. Are you glad that you went into design? Would you?
Oh, that's the only thing I could do.
The only thing you had any real interest in.
Yeah.
Have you done any consulting work since you've been retired?
No. Only through magazines. I mean, mm-hmm. only in several magazines, special interest autos, particular, and Automotive Quarterly did a little bit of what I did. I think there was a picture of the end car.
Oh, really?
Where I was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or a part of it, not much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one that I've been corresponding with in England.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But as far as doing anything for production, no. Although I'd like to. I would like to be a consultant. Sometimes I thought I would like to do something like Gordon Burig has done with replicas, modified replicas,
uh-huh.
like the old Mercedes or an old Duesenberg or the Auburn or something, make a variation of it.
Uh-huh.
There's one in Zimmer, it's called, mm-hmm. Zimmer.
The Zimmer? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Long hood and flowing fenders and stuff like that. That was kind of interesting.
Are you still modeling or still drawing?
No, not at all.
Well, it's been a long and interesting career. Any final words for students of design, what they should look for in terms of design history?
Well, first of all, they'd have to have an education like I didn't have,
mm-hmm.
Like Art Center in California.
But
Pasadena.
You did go to Cornell though for 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. But that wasn't that didn't
help you in any way.
Help well, I wouldn't say anyway, but it engineering wasn't there long enough in engineering to do any good,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't much of an engineer anyway, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And architecture, I can see where a long study in architecture might be all right,
mm-hmm.
but for anybody interested in automobiles, it would certainly be not a school like I went to. It would be something that was just featured design work,
mm-hmm. right.
that would be the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, well, they have their samples when they're
their portfolio.
Their portfolio.
And they should have an inviting love of cars too.
I think so. I think that's very important. And even a history of cars. I think lots of times there's certain things even in a new car that might be reminiscent of some older car,
mm-hmm.
or something
right.
that, that was done.
Much of design history repeats itself. Okay?
Yeah.
You've seen recurring themes.
Yeah.
The themes that reoccur every 10 or 20 years.
Yeah.
They seem to pick up. Designers seem to go back and say, I like that. Let's
yeah.
use a variation on that.
But I don't think it's done as much as it could be, though,
mm-hmm.
or should have been done.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little different now, but.
But overall, the overall thematic thread of your career would be you're trying to push automotive design out of a antiquated, squarish, boxy mode and into a, how would you characterize
more aerodynamic.
Softer
aerodynamic lines. And flowing lines,
and flowing
not
lines.
Not things that interrupt. Like sometimes on some cars, it looked as if one person did the side view part of it and somebody else did the back view and they tried to put them together and they didn't match.
Would you call that design by committee these days?
Well, might have been.
Yeah.
One of the Mustang 1 year, not the first one. The first one was fine, but
mm-hmm.
one of the later Mustangs. Gosh, I looked at that and it looked like the back view was all right. Maybe the front view was all right, but somehow they didn't seem to come together. It looked like one did one, another one did another.
And they cobbled them together. Huh?
Management said, I like that front end, and I like this side view, and that back view. And
of course,
hope they come together.
That happened to you a couple of times in your career.
Well, I can't think just where, but it probably has. But as a rule, I was lucky, I think. I had a pretty free hand. I could, in the early days, you didn't have any product planners. Didn't have anybody to make up your own
right.
package.
Mm-hmm.
I made up my own package.
Did you?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
many times. My line drawings all had the dimensions on them, the seat, the headroom, entrance room, and all that. And there was no product planners or something. I don't want my son to hear it, because he is one.
Yeah.
They were kind of a necessary evil as far as I was concerned. I didn't want somebody to tell me what the car should look like. I'd rather the site it myself, but I realize that has to be done.
Do you remember late in your career at Ford, they somehow seemed to move the planning of the car into the engineering?
Well, and early, that was more so early.
Early on?
Well, the Chrysler is a good example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Chrysler were known for their good engineers,
mm-hmm.
Breer and Oliver Clark and
Zeter,
mm-hmm. and it was a engineer design car,
uh-huh.
and even right through into the airflow, I think,
uh-huh.
and so that.
But later on, at Ford, I believe, Ford and A established the primacy of the designers.
Yeah.
And made them the key people.
Yeah. Even changed the whole name of the place. It's the Design Center. It's
Design
not
Center,
a
right.
It's not an art and color thing like
or
General
or styling,
Motors.
Or styling
General
department.
Motors started out with
yeah.
they call it the art and color.
Mm-hmm.
And even at Hudson I was called an artist, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Something
right.
like that.
But in late in the mid 60s, I think, after Dykstra succeeded McNamara, I understand that the product planning end of it became part of the engineering group, and the engineers again
yeah.
took over the planning of the vehicle.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Well, one last thought about Mr. Lowy. How would you place him in the pantheon of industrial designers? Was he in your
Well, he was certainly very successful. He had a big studio, and I think he relied upon his designers. He didn't try to do it himself. I think he's a better designer than Norman Val Geddes,
mm-hmm.
as far as automobiles are concerned. And he did maybe some funnies, but all in all, I think he's a good designer. And but when it comes And Gordon and X would say this, that when it comes to designing a car, he couldn't do it.
Really?
But I'm not sure that that's true. Because he did some things for Hupmobile, for instance, that was good, that he did on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did them on his own.
He has some British automobile accounts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One yeah. of which you worked on.
Yeah. And so he was a good man to work for. It was
mm-hmm.
very, very pleasant and fun.
Mm-hmm. Who else would you place at that level? Can you think of any of them you've known or worked with? Did you get a chance to work with George Walker much? You worked for?
No.
No. He seemed to have been a manager rather than a designer.
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he. Bourdonnais was a designer. He
uh-huh.
he came up through the ranks,
uh-huh.
and certainly Kopka has.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one that's the chief designer, Jack Talanak.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good designer,
mm-hmm.
and I think he is pretty responsible for the new,
right.
the Mustang, the last Mustang, which is very good.
Yeah.
I think he's a good designer. I remember when I talked to him when I went through. Styling one time, and we were talking about the new Mustang that had just come out. That was
mm-hmm.
before the one that he designed
right.
now.
Yeah, right.
And it was the one that I thought, and I told him so, I thought somebody designed the front, somebody designed the back, somebody designed the side, and they tried to put it together. And he agreed. He didn't like it either.
Yeah.
He didn't do it, I don't think. At least I hope he didn't.
No, his first input was the 79
yeah.
80 Mustang.
Yeah, that was a nice one. The who are some of the others? There's one fellow now that's got an executive job that worked for me, John Aiken.
How do you spell his last name? A-I-K-E-N?
I think so, John mm-hmm. Aiken. He worked for me for a long time.
Where did he work?
And
for
he
you?
Worked for me in pre-production.
In
he was pretty
record.
Much, he did, some of the cars that came out of pre-production,
mm-hmm.
But he had a lot to do with it. And one of them was the last, was the Lincoln, the one I was telling you about that he did, and that Ford liked, and I did one later.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
He did that, and that pretty much came out the way it was designed.
What year was that?
Let's see, that was the, that, I got to figure that out. That was 68, I think. It was the first one of that series.
Uh-huh, right.
See, they kept them for several years. In fact,
would that have been Mark III?
It wasn't a Mark.
Mark
it was,
III?
No, it wasn't a Continental.
It wasn't a Continental.
It was a Sprint. Yeah.
Aiken is still at Ford, I think.
Yeah, he's an executive now.
Right, yes.
He's got a good job. And I respect his work a lot. And you were asking some of the others. Who were the ones? Halderman was
Dale
still
Halderman,
around.
Did you know him?
I didn't know too much about his work. I know him well.
Mm-hmm.
And Boyer.
Bill Boyer.
I know him.
Mm-hmm.
And his work, the ones I've seen, I haven't been too much in favor of. I think he did the one of those show cars that looked like it broke him right in half.
He did some work on the.
But he didn't. I'm sure he did a lot of nice work.
He did some work on that.
Yeah, some of the Thunderbirds, but some of them I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like all the Thunderbirds.
Yeah. I think he was responsible for the initial design on the first one.
The two passenger.
Uh huh. Right.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
Except the only thing I didn't like about it was the stovepipe fender can ride straight out.
Yeah.
There is no curvature whatsoever, or very little.
Yeah.
But my son has got. Four of them. He's got.
Really?
I've restored one of them,
uh-huh.
And he's got a great big garage out here, and he's got another home someplace, and he's got a bunch of cars. He's got about 13 cars. But the Thunderbird, the last ones were very nice, and the two passenger was very nice.
Yeah. But you didn't care for those four passengers in the 60s.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
I forget just which one. The first one I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first four passenger I didn't care too much about, but then the later ones.
That
I
was
got
58.
But one Lincoln I did like very much. The first one that had the curved glass that was low, and it had a.
61.
Yeah, I think it was 61. I should know my.
The one that
model Engel, numbers, but I forget them.
The one that Engel worked on.
I guess so.
Yeah. Do you see any of your fellow designers occasionally?
Yeah, I see Rulo Conrad.
Rulo Conrad.
Do you know him?
Heard about him, yeah.
Yeah, he lives in. He had a Lincoln pre-production studio at one time.
Where is he now?
He's he lives in Florida in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
I see him in the wintertime. In fact, I've seen him in the summertime and last summer at Torch Lake.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, and Engel had a place in Torch Lake too, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's been a great career for you. You enjoyed it.
Yeah, it really has. And in fact, my first boss, Ralph Roberts, says, "I don't know why we pay you. You like to work so much. You enjoy your work."
You do it for nothing, huh?
Yeah. I started out at $75 a month.
Really?
Well, I thought that was great, but it was, of course, and in 4 months. Roberts doubled my salary, $150, and so I got married. That was enough for me to get married.
You look back on those Briggs days as a
it was the most fun.
Most fun. Yeah.
Well, I'm also there was three great,
okay.
great times.
Tell us about
it. The greatest. Well, I don't know the greatest, but the first Briggs,
mm-hmm.
and that was so much fun.
And lots of freedom.
Once in a while, under Jared, I wasn't so happy, but most of the time, I was. And then under Lowy, and especially when going to England most times, and especially working on the 53 Studebaker and that. Not so much the end of Lowy's period, but most of it. And then, of course, the Ford, not the first part, not the Edsel part, but then the part where I had my own pre-production. Had six designers. I wish I could think. I know them all well, but I can't think of anything. And I had modelers. When I needed them,
mm-hmm.
I'd have to. The monitors didn't come under me. That was an interesting thing about Ford. Or it wasn't interesting to me. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I had to be careful how I handled modelers, because they didn't work for me. They admired me, I think, and did what I wanted, but they worked for me.
You were a modeler yourself. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't a modeler. I was never registered as a modeler.
Mm-hmm.
I was always a designer. Mm-hmm. But the modelers came under Al. And he was their boss, and he would assign them to me as I needed them. And I had to be careful what I used them for. One time I got in Dutch with them. I wanted a table moved or something, and I asked one of the modelers to help me move it. Boy, they told Al, and Al let me have it.
Well, it's been a good career for you, then.
Yeah, it has.
You've enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mr. Cotto. That's marvelous. You had mentioned that you'd like to say a few words about some of the designers that you've known in your career. Could you think of a few of them now that you've referred
to? Well, one of them that I didn't know was Amos Northrup. He was in charge of the, he was chief designer of Murray Body.
Murray Body,
yeah. Yeah, they were in competition with Briggs. They had their own design department similar to Briggs.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the Graham Page back in 32 with the ones with the first skirted fenders.
Oh, yes.
He did the Royal. They were cars that I really admired. They had, instead of having the gas tank out where it showed, he covered them up, and he had nice rounded fenders. And,
uh-huh.
and the Graham, of course, had the skirted fenders, and they both had nice molding treatments. And then he did the Graham later on, was a very advanced with a radiator leaning forward, and he died during the development of that, and it didn't really come out like he would normally have designed it, but he was somewhat responsible for that. The other designers.
You said about Phil Wright, who was one of your one of the men you most admired at Briggs.
Yeah.
What was his?
He had quite a lot of experience, and before I even met him, he sat right behind me at Briggs,
mm-hmm.
and we became quite well acquainted, and he helped me a lot in my renderings and my drawing. I was very poor, and I remember one time he said, I wondered why Roberts ever kept me. He said, I drew so terrible, but later I got better, and I did get nice line drawings, but he was such an expert in rendering and designing. Sometimes you find a person that's very good in artwork and rendering and not such a good designer, but he really was. He designed that Silver Arrow, Pierce Arrow, which was way out in this day, and later some other things. And
tell us a bit about Virgil Exner Sr. You respected him
yes.
as a designer and as a person.
Yeah, once in a while he did something, a car that was maybe a little funny here and there, but as a whole he did a lot of real nice things. He was I'd say an excellent designer.
He deserves his reputation.
Yeah, he deserves. And I was sorry they didn't get more. Right up in the book here.
Yeah.
It just mentions him in his autobiography here, but
you of course had run across him at Studebaker Packard, Studebaker in the early years. Yeah.
Well, in the early years.
When you first went there, he was the chief.
He wasn't the chief. Gordon came in. Well,
Gordon
came in as the chief according to the records, but Buehrig did, but Exner seemed to be more of the boss. he had been there for a long time and knew the engineers and was more acquainted. Gordon came in as a stranger.
Yeah.
And so naturally X had the advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And he was well.
You mentioned Paul Myers. What do you remember about him at Briggs?
He was such a wonderful artist and a good designer too. Although I don't think he ever had the opportunity to do an awful lot, although it says here in his biography that he worked on Cadillac and LaSalle, and I know he's that some of those early LaSalles were pretty much came from some of his designs. I had a lot of respect for him, particularly as an artist.
Can you tell us about John Jarda from your days at Briggs, what kind of a designer he was?
Well, he did this dream car. Mm-hmm. That's what he gets his reputation for, and that was a nice car. It was a
34.
That was, yeah, it came out. See, it was there. The wooden model was there when I started in 1933.
Mm-hmm.
So it was completed then, and they were starting to work on the metal mm-hmm. car when I started.
Mm-hmm.
And I admired that very much, except the front end I wasn't crazy about. But, the other things he did a rear engine, a small car I didn't care much about, but that was about the only car that he really did that I knew about that I cared about.
Did he stay on at Briggs after you left?
Yeah.
What did he do there?
I don't know, except from what I heard, that he got in trouble with some of the management at Briggs and he was let go. And it was kind of abrupt, and it wasn't very pleasant. But other than that, I don't know. I know he made a few people unhappy that he let go and then tried to hire back, including myself.
He wouldn't go. What about Bob Gregory? Did you ever have a...
Yes, I did too. While I was at Briggs, I knew that they were... Ford was having a design department, and I went over to see him, see if I could get in and work with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he came right out and told me very bluntly
mm-hmm.
that he did all the designing there, or gave me that impression that if I was there, I'd be a modeler, just, you know.
Not a designer.
And I don't know if he said that, really, mm-hmm. but that's the impression I got, and that wasn't what I wanted. And that's about the only impression I have of him. Bob Whelan, I mentioned him before.
Yes.
I think he's a very good designer. He's also a very good illustrator. And he could, he made some illustrations of old cars he's gotten in his home in Florida. We're very close friends. And we talk about cars, and
mm-hmm.
and his son is a illustrator for cars. He does magazines and stuff too. He does a lot of car work.
So. Did Whelan stay on at Ford after you left?
It was sort of a sad thing in a way. He went to Germany and worked under a fellow that just died.
Duncan McRae.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And when he came back, he didn't have any better job than when he left. In the meantime, I've been promoted, and he was to come back and work for me
mm-hmm.
if I was on.
Mm-hmm.
However, I had just retired at that time, and somebody else took my place. Can't even remember his name. And so I'm glad it didn't happen that way. We're real good friends. We traveled together in Europe a couple different occasions. And he's an excellent designer and an artist. And I know there are many others.
He sticks out in your mind.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to meet Joe Oros? Did you ever know him?
Oh, sure, sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about Joe, your impressions of him?
Yeah, I liked Joe a lot, and we didn't, he was, when I came there, he didn't really have a studio of his own. He was, he and Elwood Engel sort of were over all the studios.
Mm-hmm, right.
They had the free hand to walk in and talk to anybody and tell them what's going on, and if either one of them liked something you were doing and wanted you to see what somebody else was doing in another studio, he could take you into another studio while with the rest of us, we weren't free to go to.